This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News. I've got Todd Nettleton of Voice of the Martyrs USA on the line, and we're going to be talking about a couple of things. The first is an Islamic holiday coming up, and Todd's going to explain why that is likely to affect new believers. And then Todd also just confirmed return from Kenya, so he's going to tell us more about that and share a pretty cool Jesus story. So Todd, looking at the Hajj, which is coming up August 9th or 10th, there's a recent article on VOM's prayer website that's highlighting the fact that events like this, major celebrations like the Hajj or Ramadan, really put new believers at risk because people notice that they're doing things they didn't used to do. Now, this article focuses on Pakistan, but I assume it's true for other Muslim-majority countries?
It is true in other Muslim countries as well as non-Muslim countries. You know, we've heard of the same thing happening in India with different Hindu festivals. We've heard of it in other places as well where, you know, the local religious festival or the local religious event happens and the new Christian believer says, well, I don't want to be a part of that anymore. That immediately raises the question, well, why not? Why wouldn't you want to be a part of our religious festival? Why wouldn't you want to be a part of something that everyone else is a part of? And then that can lead to some uncomfortable questions, because in many places, the answer to that question saying, well, because I'm not a Muslim anymore, I'm now a follower of Christ, can bring down persecution on that new believer.
We know that Muslims specifically, and Hindus, I imagine, too, they prepare for these festivals or celebrations in a certain way. How do Christians prepare for times of major celebration or religious festivals where they kind of know they're going to be the targets? Like, how do they have extra defenses, or they avoid going outside, or how do they get ready?
You know, I think there's two answers to that question, and one is as far as their own sort of personal safety. Yes, they pay more attention to safety during those times of sort of religious fervor in the community around them. They are more aware of what's going on. But there's another side to the coin, and that's the side of they prepare to reach out. They prepare to share the gospel because they know, hey, our neighbors are thinking about spiritual things right now. We have the answer to every spiritual question that they are asking. That the answer's name is Jesus Christ. So how can we make this a significant and profitable time of ministry? So, you know, like I say, there's two sides. Yes, they are thinking of safety. They're thinking of, okay, you know, I want to avoid large crowds where I might be singled out or I might become a target. But they also are saying, how do we share Christ during this festival, during this holiday, with our neighbors who are thinking about spiritual things?
Okay. And when we think specifically of the Hajj, it's several days long. It's not just a one-and-done kind of thing. How should we, believers in the West, be praying for our brothers and sisters during this time?
You know, I think one of the key things to pray is that Muslims who are on the Hajj, this is a spiritual pilgrimage to go to Mecca. It is required of every Muslim during their lifetime to make this pilgrimage. We can pray as Christians that they will encounter Jesus Christ. You know, we hear so many stories from throughout the Muslim world of dreams and visions and supernatural occurrences where God is just supernaturally reaching people. Again, this is a time where they are specifically thinking about spiritual things. They're thinking about, how do I earn God's approval? What can I do to get God to approve of me, to pay attention to me? And so it is a great time for them to have an encounter with the gospel message that says, there's nothing you can do to earn God's approval. In fact, we are eternally damned if we are counting on our own good works to be able to get into heaven. The only way is through Jesus Christ. So I think that the key thing that we can do is just pray for supernatural encounters with Christ during this Hajj season.
Beautifully said. That wraps up my questions. Was there anything I missed or anything else you wanted to add before we talk about Kenya?
Nope, I think you got it.
All right. So switching gears, you just got back from Kenya, which I appreciate you taking time to talk with me. Can you kind of give us an overview, like why'd you go, what were you doing when you were there? Kind of start us off that way.
Well, our task in Kenya was to sit down and interview and really document and capture the story of one of the very first ethnic Somalis to become a follower of Jesus Christ in Kenya. This man, Ibrahim, is 87 years old, so he is quite elderly. He first encountered Christ in 1969, so it's 50 years this year that he has been following Christ. And so we went to meet him, to interview him, and to capture his story, not only for the American church to be encouraged by what God is doing among the Somalis in Kenya, but also for the Somali community, because we want to tell his story to people who believe that to be a Somali is absolutely to be a Muslim. There's no other choice. Ibrahim's story illustrates the fact, no, there is a choice. You can be Somali and also be a follower of Jesus Christ.
Now, I imagine it would take a long time to tell that story, and you probably don't want to do a spoiler alert. I imagine VOM is going to release his story on their network, but is there any, I guess, takeaways or really just your impressions that you can share with the MNN audience as we kind of look forward to hearing the full story from VOM?
Well, one of the things that he shared, and one of the ways that he came to know Christ is through a missionary that was speaking. And Ibrahim was actually a policeman in Kenya. He was assigned to go to this gathering where a lot of people had gathered, and a missionary, a Christian missionary, was speaking. As the missionary spoke, he read a passage from the Bible. It was actually a passage from the Old Testament. And Ibrahim recognized that it was a passage that was echoed in the Quran. And so that he actually went to a pastor friend of his and said, why was this Christian missionary preaching out of the Quran? And the pastor said, well, you know, I don't think that's what he was doing. You know, what was the passage? And they were able to look at it in the Old Testament. And that was the start of Ibrahim coming to Christ, because he thought, you know, if the Quran just echoes what is already in the Bible, I don't want to read the copy. I want to read the original. I'm going to go back and study the Bible. And so that's what, you know, eventually led him to become a follower of Christ. The interesting thing about that story is he never went back to that missionary and sat down and said, hey, you know, when you said that, it really impacted me. The missionary probably never knew that a sermon that he had given, a talk he had given, had led Ibrahim on the path to become a follower of Christ. And Ibrahim, in the course of his lifetime of following Christ, has planted now 22 churches. So he's had an amazing ministry that missionary never knew. It was a special trip for me to be in Kenya, because my wife was able to go along with me. And we really talked a lot about that. The fact that, you know, we don't know. We don't know the impact that our words are having. We don't know the people who are watching us or listening to us. And maybe we won't ever know until we get to heaven. But Ibrahim was dramatically impacted by that missionary that day, who never knew. He never heard the impact that he had had.
And does Ibrahim mostly work with Somali Christian or Somali people in Kenya, or does he go back into his country of origin and try to plant stuff there?
He has had, you know, he was born in Kenya, so there are a lot of ethnic Somalis in Kenya. He does have family in Somalia. He has visited Somalia, but his work has primarily been in Kenya. Yes, among Somalis, but also among others in Kenya as well. And like I say, he, in the course of following Christ for the last 50 years, he has planted 22 churches.
That's awesome. How would you like our listeners and readers to respond to this story?
You know, I hope we will think about our lives and think about the people who we may have the opportunity to impact. I also hope that we'll pray for the Somali people. There are a lot of challenges. Ibrahim himself went through a lot of persecution when he became a follower of Christ, even in Kenya, even in a free country. But amongst that Somali community, he endured great persecution. So let's pray for the Somali people in Somalia, as well as in Kenya, as well as in some of the other surrounding countries, that the Spirit of God will move among them and that there will be a revival among the Somali people.
Amen to that. And is there, final question, is there a date we can look for when this is going to roll out, or just kind of keep an eye on VOM stuff?
Keep an eye on the VOM newsletter. We are working on a story. It will probably be early next year when we publish the story. We also are working on publishing the story in the Somali language to be able to share his story with Somalis as well.